It is truly an honor to introduce someone who lives out it's never too late, who lives out be your best, who lives out lifting other people up. And so I'd like to ask Mr. 1995, Mr. Universe, and the 2010 Guinness World Book Record holder for the oldest female bodybuilder, Ernestine Shepherd, you can call her Ernie, up to the stage. So I can't whisper in your ear. Hello. Would you like to stand or sit? Either way.
I'll do both.
Okay, that sounds good. So, Ernie, it's up to you. And when you're done, let me know. And what I'll do is just ask you some questions.
Okay.
Would you like those things up here?
Yes, please.
Okay. Do you want the lectern? The podium?
I don't have to have
okay.
That.
Okay, you go, girl. And I'm sitting right there.
Right.
So you let me know.
Okay. Well, good afternoon to everyone. I am so happy to be here. I always like to come out and speak to people and tell them how they can live a healthy, happy, positive, confident lifestyle. But I have a story to tell you first. Once upon a time, that's how all stories go, there were two sisters, and they loved each other dearly. If you saw one, you saw the other. Now, one was a good sister. The other one was a bad sister. Can any of you tell me who that bad sister was? Somebody tell me, who do you think the bad sister was? You're right, I was the bad sister. She did everything right, I did everything wrong. And at a young age, I could say all kinds of bad words. And she would say to me, one day, something is going to change you. I don't know whether I'll be here to see it, but one day, something is going to change you. I said, I don't want to change. I like how I am. So I went along with my sister, followed her everywhere she went. She decided that she was going to get married. She found this young man, and they got married. Well, I said, if she can get married, I can too. So I knew this guy around the corner. And I went to him, and I asked him, I said, will you marry me? He said, yes, I'll marry you. We got married. And we had a happy marriage. But anyway, I want to tell you this. My husband was a member of the church. Everything he did, he loved it because he loved praising the Lord. He loved working in the church. And gosh, I would say, why do you have to go to that old church all the time? I'm sick and tired of this. He said, Teenie, he called me Teenie. He said, Teenie, you'll find out one day. One day the church was having a picnic. He invited my sister and me to the church picnic. He said, you girls can wear bathing suits. So I hadn't had a bathing suit on in years, and neither had my sister, and her name was Velvet. We went to purchase these bathing suits. We put them on, She looked over at me and she begun laughing. I said, "You don't look so-and-so good. Don't be laughing at me." So we took the suits off and we didn't get in the water. We just sat by the pool. We heard ladies talking that they were going to a gym. So we said we would go. So finally, within 2 weeks' time, we went to a college called Coppin. And we started working out there. But I didn't really want to do anything. But boy, oh boy, Velvet started working out. And I saw the change in her body. And like I told you, I was a bad one. No one was looking at me, so I got mad and left. Velvet came to the house and said, "If you want the joy that I'm having, you come out here and do the same thing." So I started working out. She said, "What we want to do, we want to let people know that age is nothing but a number and that you can get fit." At that time, I was 56 years of age and she was 57. Next thing I knew, Velvet, gosh, like I said, she was on television, not me. But anyway, one day Velvet came to me and she says, "Teenie, you know I haven't been feeling good." I said, "Well, what's wrong?" She says, "Oh, my head hurts me so badly. I don't know why it hurts like that." I said, "Well, maybe you have your plait too tight," because she wore her hair with a plait like I wear mine. And I thought maybe she put the little rubber scrunchie back there and made it too tight. So she says, "I don't know." The next time she came to me and she said, "It feels like water is running in my ears." I said, "Well, you know, we've been trying to learn to swim. Maybe that's the water that's in your ears." The next time she came, she said, "I couldn't see out of one eye." All of these different things, many things she told me. And the last thing that she told me, I said, "You know what? We are going to the hospital to check and see just what is wrong." So she and my parents went to the hospital, and I got there later. And when I got there, no one had waited on her. So I said, "We're leaving this hospital. We're going someplace else." So we went to a hospital called St. Agnes. She said, "I'll walk in. I will not have anyone put me in a wheelchair." She walked into the hospital. They asked what was wrong. They took her back immediately and examined her. When they examined her, they came out and told us that she had a brain aneurysm. All those different symptoms were symptoms of the aneurysm. By her working out the way that she did, she was able to stand on her feet longer than the average person. But they said that it wasn't anything that they could do for her because it had already burst. The water that she felt running that she thought was in her ears, that was the blood from the aneurysm. So right then and there, she died. I stood there. I couldn't believe it. I screamed and I hollered and I said, "Now I don't have anyone. What am I going to do?" And my baby sister said, "You have me." Yes, I had her, but that wasn't what I wanted at that moment. Well, Velvet had told me, if anything were to happen to her, she wanted me to continue everything that she was doing. Get out, speak to people, hug people when you see them, teach them that you can be. be healthy. Well, she died, as I told you. She was cremated. And I always sang, and I sang the Lord's Prayer by Gates at her funeral. After her funeral was over, I was the meanest, nastiest person that you would ever, ever want to meet. If I was saying bad words then, look out, I was really saying them. And then I hated God because I could not believe how God could take her away and leave me here, who was the bad sister. And I made myself judge and jury. I looked around at other people and I said, look at them. They're still living, but they took my sister away. But my sister had given me a plaque. And she said to me, all I want you to do is to read this plaque every day if anything happens to me. And I have the plaque here. And I want to read it to you. And all of you have the paper right there. And this is called The Optimist Creed by Christian D. Lawson. And it goes, I promise myself to be so strong that nothing can disturb my peace of mind. To talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person I meet. To make all my friends feel that there is something worthwhile in them. To look at the sunny side of everything and make my optimism come true. To think only the best. To work only for the best, and to expect only the best. To be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as I am about my own. To forget the mistakes of the past and press on to the greater achievements of the future. And this is one thing that I try to do, to wear a cheerful expression at all times and give a smile to every living creature I meet, to give so much time to improving myself that I have no time to criticize others, to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble. To think well of myself and to proclaim this fact to the world, not in loud words, but in great deeds. To live in the faith that the whole world is on my side, so long as I am true to the best that is in me. And as I stated, this is by Christian D. Lawson. Well, in the beginning, I couldn't follow that. I ended up with anxiety, depression. I was on every type of pill that you could give me. And it didn't work. I still was a nervous wreck. But one night, I went to sleep, and I was awakened. And it was my sister. And she said, you are not doing what I asked you to do. Get up and do what I asked you to do. I looked around the room. I didn't see anyone. I just said, well, what is that? But then finally, within a matter of a few weeks, I decided I would go to this church where they were having some kind of, I don't know what I would call it at that time. I went to this church and I sat on the very back pew. And I said to myself, if these people in this church get on my mind and aggravate me, I am going to get up and leave. I sat on the back pew. I always wore rings on all of my fingers. And I sat there, looked at my fingernails, looked at my rings. Everything was going on and things were getting on my nerves. And then all of a sudden, it was a revival. All of a sudden, people were getting up and hooping and hollering. And I said to myself, I've got to go. But then all of a sudden, the organist started playing this song. And that was a song that I would sing, and my sister loved it. And it was, oh Lord, when I think about it, here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling through the night. I will go, Lord, where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. All of a sudden, somebody I know jumped up. Something I had never done in my life. And I said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of each new day. Give me back the love that I once had for you. And never, ever let me slip away. I left that church. I felt like a new person. But before I left, everybody hugged me. They said, if it's anything we can do to help you, please come back. Please come back. All of a sudden, I knew that I had to start exercising again. So I started exercising with a young guy. And he sent my picture to Essence Magazine because my body had changed. And they asked me to come to New York. And I went to New York and I was in their magazine and I was on television. The next thing I knew, I got a call from The View. And I was on The View. And then we started going to bodybuilding shows because my sister wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Records and she wanted to be in Ripley's Believe It or Not. So I went to this bodybuilding show and there was this young man, the former Mr. Universe, and oh boy, you couldn't tell me anything then because I really thought I was cute, but still, I was doing the things that my sister wanted. I sat on the front row in a white one-piece suit, and this young man came out and he said, Miss, would you like to present the trophies to my winners? I said, by all means. So I went up on the stage, and I presented the trophies to some of the guys. Then after that, he said, you can give the trophies to the rest of the guys, too. So that was joy to me. So I gave the trophies to the other guys. So then I met him someplace else, and I asked him, would he train me? He said, yes, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to send you what I want you to do, and then you'll send me pictures, and I'll see if your body is changing. I said, well, I want to tell you one thing. I don't want to look like a man. I want to look feminine. Please don't make me look like a man. He said, you could not look like a man. He said, because you don't have that testosterone. He said, what I will do, I will create a body so that when others see you, they too know that they will achieve the same thing. So I said, okay. I was 71 years old when I went to him. It took me 7 months to get my body into shape. And then I did his show. My husband being so religious, I didn't tell him that I was coming on stage with this skimpy suit on. And I was peeping from behind the curtain at him, and he was sitting just like this. I said, Yanni, I can't do it. He said, yes, you can. You can do it. So I stood there a while, and all of a sudden, the music started playing more, more, more. How do you like it? How do you like it? I said, am I going to do this? More, more, more. How do you like it? I was scared to death. I stood up there. He pushed me. I went out there. I said, more, more, more. How do you like it? How do you like it? And then I went on and I did one of these like that. Then next thing I knew, I got down on the floor. Got carried away, you know. Got down on the floor and did dips. The dips went. Leg up to the side, leg up and down. Turned around. I'll just do one push-up for you. Then I did a push-up for you. One, two, three. More. And then when the show was over, guess who won first place? I did. I won first place. Well, we had gotten an engagement to go to do a show, and I never knew how to actually get up and talk. So Yanni says, now you're going to have to get up and talk to these people. Said, and you have to make it interesting. I said, well, I don't know how to do it. Do you know he kept me up all night walking, trying to get that together? And then I got it together. Now he says I talk too much. But anyway, within a few weeks, Yanni got a call from the Guinness Book of World Records, and they wanted us to come to Rome. Said, because they said they thought I was the oldest female bodybuilder in the world. I said, oh gosh, that's what Velvet wanted. That's what Velvet wanted. Oh, I hope I can do it. They called back and said, yes, we flew to Rome. We got to Rome March the 16th. That was Velvet's birthday. When I got off the plane, the car that picked us up, part of the tag number was 316. When I got to the hotel, they were playing a song. When you walk through a storm, you all know that song, You Never Walk Alone. And I stood there, and the tears gushed in my eyes. And I said, Velvet is here with me. She is here. Well, I had to do different exercises while I was there to get my certificate and my medal. So Yanni said, You can do it. I said, I don't think so. He said, You are an athlete. You can do it. And again, here he did, had me picking up all this heavy stuff before the show. I picked it up. They took pictures of me doing that. Then they had me on the stage with these humongous bodybuilders. And I love that because they picked me up and I just laid back in their arms, you know. I laid back and had a good time. So I got that certificate and everything and came home. Within a matter of 2 weeks' time, we got a call from Ripley's Believe It or Not. Velvet wanted that. And we went to New York. I had to do different feats again. And if you would get that book, they have me in there as Granny Six Packs. Because... because of my abs. But getting back to this show, my husband was so thrilled, and he was happy that I had won the show. Then he was thrilled that I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records. I travel all over training people. That's my ministry. I love to be around people. And then, as I said, I was taking lorazepam, I'm trying to think of the rest of them, mirtazapine, I can't even remember all of them. But I found out that when you exercise and move your body, that anxiety and all of that will go away. It does go away. I have helped so many people with that. I tell you, I feel so, so much better now. But then I love to, the people that I train, they're in their 80s, in their 60s, their 50s. Don't you know, don't any of them worry about anything. And I tell you, I love the Lord now. I love all of you. I don't know you, but I love you. I like to put my arms around everybody, but with this pandemic, I can't do it. And then, gosh, Yanni Schamberger has done so, so much to help me. I am just so thrilled. And I was thrilled to hear that I was coming here. It's a lot more that I could tell you, but I don't want to keep running my mouth, running my mouth, running my mouth. But I have done 11 marathons and in my age category. Now, don't think because those ladies are in my age category that they can't run. Because they can. And I've come in first place. 2 weeks ago, I just did the half marathon. And when I would do my 5Ks, and that's 3.2 or 3.1, something like that, miles, I could do a 9-minute mile. That is really true. I have trained that way. this man over there, Yanni, will not let me give up. Then, all of a sudden, just when everything was going right, happy, no nerve pills, no nothing. 3 years ago, I had been married to my husband 64 years. A good man. I have one son. He got a disease called pseudo-gout. Not the gout that you get in your big toe. Pseudo-gout is what you get in each limb. He couldn't walk. He said, "Teeny, I don't want to go to the hospital. I want you to keep me home. Would you do it?" I said, "Yes, I will. I will keep you home." Thank God for exercising. I could get him out of that bed. Are you familiar with a Hoyer? I would put him in the Hoyer. I would slide it under him and put him in that and get him up. He was weighing about 190-some pounds. And he said, "I'm not going to live longer. But if anything happens to me, I don't want you to stop what you're doing. And as a matter of fact, while I'm still here in this bed, if you have any jobs to go to, I want you to go to them." And my son was there, and he would take care of him while I would travel on the road and do my jobs. But that was it. He died. And then again, I started with this nervous stuff again. But then I thought to myself, "You've been there. You've done that. Don't go there anymore." And I tell you, it's nothing that I wouldn't do to get out and help others. And that is my ministry. And the last thing that I want to say to you is what I say to all of my people that I teach. This was a quote by Audrey Hepburn. "For beautiful eyes, always look for the good in others. For beautiful lips, only speak words of kindness. For poise, walk with the knowledge that you are never, ever alone." I love you all, and God bless you.
Wow.
Thank you so much. All right, so we've got about 10 or 15 minutes on our break. We want to invite you to go ahead and come on up and get a picture with Ernie if you would like. One thing that we want to be really careful of is just to go ahead and grab the picture and then exit the stage. We want to be careful about how much actual talking we're doing just to make sure we're keeping her as safe as possible. So, Ernie, thank you. And Yanni, want to come up here for a second? Please help me welcome Mr. Universe.
Anybody.
Okay, good. So I just have a quick question for you, Yanni. So tell the inner circle a little bit about your passion and just your work with Ernestine. That would be great. And then if you guys want to begin a line, that would be wonderful. All right.
Well, for me, all my life, I wanted to be great at something. And as a little kid, I was played a lot of different sports. And I really thought it was going to be swimming because I was pretty good at swimming. And I got a swimming scholarship to college. But I was never fast enough to be world class. But I never stopped dreaming. And that's the thing. There's a dream and you should never give it up. So what happened was, by chance, I had a friend who made the Olympic trials in Greco-Roman wrestling. And he only weighed like 197, no, he weighed 97 pounds. Okay, he was a little guy. And I was weighing like 115. So I said, okay, well, if you can do that, then I think I can make the trials too. So we started wrestling together, and I got in a tournament, and it was doing pretty good. But then I messed up because seasoned wrestlers don't think. They go by response. They know what to do. I'm thinking every move, and I'm trying to throw this guy, and it wasn't going well, and we both fall on the ground and dislocate my arm. So I had to start lifting weights to build my arm back up after it came out the sling. And by chance, I entered a bodybuilding show at the recreation center. That kept me going to look for more shows. Long story short, I made the U.S. team. They sent me around the world for international competition. I won Mr. Universe. I turned pro. I went to the Arnold Classic, Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic, came in fourth. Went to the Olympia and came in third in the master's category. So I've been all around the world because of the fitness, the bodybuilding. And then I started my own fitness business, and that's how we hooked up.
So Ernie has a question and one person. So quickly, I will be watching for the fastest hand who can answer this question. And if you answer the question, then we have an autographed copy of the book, okay?
You mean one question?
One question.
How old are you now? Why not? I was first. What's your question? Oh, you did?
First of all, I would tell the young people, don't just sit down and watch television all the time. Get up. No, get up once or twice a week, go out and walk. Because usually in the schools, they don't have that much exercise now. But get out and do some walking. And you would be surprised what walking can do for you. And it's cheap, doesn't cost you not 1 cent.